obviously, there's supplication, praying on behalf of others. There's thanksgiving. There's obviously honoring God with who He is and respecting Him for who He is and telling Him that hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. Pray for His will, not our will, be done. There's, just a whole myriad of different types of prayers in the Bible. And what we have to do is kind of, it's kind of like the Bible says, for instance, be still and know that I'm God. So there's a principle in the Bible that sometimes we need to be still. But the first example we're going to look at tonight in this prayer was, Moses prayed, but then he told Moses, go forward. All right, so what we have a be still verse and a go forward verse. And some of us get those. what do I do? Do I be still or do I go forward? And so what we have to do is obviously apply it. And I'll show you what I'm talking about here in just a minute. But tonight, basically it says right there in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so the title of my sermon tonight is just Great and Mighty Things. And so each example of prayer and answer to prayer tonight was a great and a mighty thing. And so sometimes there's parts in the Bible where, let's say for instance, Paul said, God, if this would be a great and mighty thing if you would remove this thorn from my flesh. But God said, no, Paul, I'm not going to. But I'll give you the grace to go through it. All right, so sometimes, in our mind, we'd think, this would be great and mighty if you would heal me of this, or if this would be great and mighty if you would save this person, if this would be great and mighty if you would just change this situation. All right, but sometimes God's like, that's not my will, so I'm not going to answer that. So what we have to do then is trust God and realize Romans 8:28. It will happen. All things will work together for good if we'll just trust God with that. And that's what Paul had to do. Paul was like, we don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh was. Some people might think it was his past and the guilt that he felt. Some people maybe think it's his eyesight. Some people think it's different things like that. Really doesn't matter. The thing was, God told him, said, look, I'm not going to take it away from you, but I will give you the grace to go through it. And so that's where that comfort, that Holy Spirit, maybe God won't heal us of that, or maybe God won't take care of that situation, but He'll say, if you will allow it, it'll work together for good. And so, great and mighty things, either way, God can, fix it, or God can help us go through it. Either one is a great and mighty thing, and God can help us, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. So, I'm going to read James 5:17-18 to go along with Jeremiah 33:3. James 5:17-18 says this, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. Okay, so we see here Elias, this is actually Elijah, and of course Elijah was a prophet of God, and he was a mighty prayer warrior. We're going to see a couple of things that happened tonight in the outline. There's some other things that I'll mention that's not in the outline, but the key is, it's kind of like David's sling. Some people might have thought, man, if I could just get me one of those slings, all right, I could kill some giants. If they'll ever put it on sale 50% off down at Academy, I'm going to get me a sling. Okay, that's not the ticket. All right, it was the God that was directing that stone that put it right there in his forehead where, the helmet didn't cover it. It wasn't David's ability with his sling. It wasn't the sling itself. Like I remember when wrist rockets came out. Man, that was the thing. All right, because I had, I had an old regular one, just a stick and the Y. And when I first got it, I was too weak to hold it because it kept coming back here. I'd pull, it would come with me. So Brainiac here sticks his thumb up so I could put some pressure on it and shot my thumb with a marble. All right, so when those wrist rockets came out, man, yeah, that tension right there, that leverage, so a lot of people think if I could just get me a sling like David had, and his wasn't like a wrist rocket or the old-fashioned one. It was basically, a string about that long with a little patch of leather or something in the middle, and you put that rock in there and you did it like this, and you kind of let go with one of the ropes. So, it was even harder. And so, yeah, I'm sure he practiced and he got to where he could hit things and things like that. But he was asking God, you direct this stone. And so it was God that did, the killing of the giant. Amen. It's kind of like we're going to see here in just a minute, Moses' rod. I got rid of that thing a long time ago, because as soon as it turned into a snake, I'd have left it right there. All right, throw it down. Okay. There's a serpent. See ya. I'm out. And so I would have ruined that great and mighty thing. But he picked it back up. But it was the God that was doing that. And the Ark of the Covenant and all that kind of stuff, it was the God behind all those instruments. It wasn't those instruments. Now, they represented. And we know the Ark of the Covenant was there, and God touched it and died because you're not supposed to. And it was in that room, and they brought this false statue, false God in there, and it kept falling over, and it finally broke its head off, things like that. So what it represented was that great God. So we see here, Elijah, it says here, he was a man just like any of us, subject in like passions. In other words, he had the same flesh that he had to deal with. He had the same doubts. He had the same nervous habits, or he had the I just don't know. He had those same passions that he had to deal with. But it says here, but he prayed. And so that's the key. And so just like we have these same passions, we have issues that we have to just trust God with. He did too, but we ought to pray. And so then, you look at it and say, well, if God didn't answer Paul's prayer, but he did answer Moses' prayer and Elijah's prayer, we're going to see here tonight. So what's the big deal? Why should I pray? Because God says to. All right, we ought always to pray and not to faint. And so we ought to give God the chance. We're going to see tonight these great and mighty things that they were like, well, we're definitely between a rock and a hard place. There's the Red Sea. There's Pharaoh's army, and here we are. We're done. All right? No. God says no. You're not done. Pray. And then the God of that rock and the giant's head and that snake and the rod and all that kind of stuff and all the things that he's done, the God. So what he did, Elias, he was just like us. And so he's like, I really want this, God. I see how this would be a benefit. And then he would say, some of us like this, what will it hurt to ask? All of us have tried it. You've seen that new toy on the TV commercial, or back in the day, the Sears and Roebuck catalog that your grandma would give you and say, circle what you want for Christmas. Man, I'd run out of Sharpies. I'd just keep on going, all right, and so forth. But, we had to ask, what would it hurt? Some of us like, Dad's going to say no. And so then your sister might say, well, what's it going to hurt? He could say yes. Right, and then we come back from the, asking the question, and he said no. See, I told you so. All right, we have that, but there's we ought not deal with God that way. We ought not think, well, he says ask, but it's not going to do any good anyway. No, what will it hurt? And then we could say this: the worst thing that could happen is he says no. Right, he's not going to smack you upside the head for asking a question. Hopefully. Maybe he's not going to put you on restriction for a month unless he told you don't ask another thing. But anyway, we have these things, and that's what Elijah was dealing with here. Should I ask God? I hate to bother him. He's probably going to say no anyway. And so we see that sometimes, the Bible, we have these obstacles, and that we should ask them. And we think sometimes that these Bible characters that we think that we see or hear of, they're like Superman or Batman or Spider-Man or Wonder Woman. That's why. No, again, they were just like us. Just like us, the Bible says. A man, subject, with like passions. Had those same frustrations, same doubts. But it's the God. And so it goes on to say that he prayed, but he not only prayed just, a prayer, but it says here in verse 18, earnestly. In other words, sincerely. Maybe with all his heart, maybe constantly, that would line up with earnestly, that it might not rain. And this was his prayer. And it says here, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Great and mighty. All right, it's been a while since it's rained. Anybody guilty of praying, God, don't let it rain? I don't guess we threw that up there. But Elijah, obviously, was trying to prove a point. God was trying to prove a point with the people. And the prophet said, God, please don't let it rain for 3 years and 6 months. So, of course, the people of that day heard the prophet, heard the preacher, pray that prayer, and they're like, we'll see. And it kept getting longer and longer and longer. And he was doing great and mighty things, working in those people's hearts. It says here, and then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And so, of course, this was one time where Elijah had prayed and asked God to stop the rain, and then he prayed and asked God to allow it to rain. And again, it wasn't Elijah's meteorologist powers. It was the God. It was his prayer. And he might have had that. He said here, same passions. Well, what will it hurt? I'm just going to see. You know, and then, you know, so he might got a ridicule for lack of faith and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we all have those battles. But he prays. So obviously God, he's the one that caused it not to rain for 3.5 years. And he's the one that caused it to rain as soon as he prayed there. And he caused all that fruit to come forth. And so God was doing the great and mighty things. And the Bible tells us, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. So I have asked God to hold off the rain before, because I had a lawn mowing business. And down in Florida, that's a year-round business. The grass doesn't stop growing down there, and so forth. But, you know, they call it the sunshine state, is what I say. Okay. Every afternoon around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, it's going right. All right, even in the sunshine state, and so forth. So, you know, I've been like, boom, you know, mowing from daylight, trying to get it done before dark. And I mean, I see those black clouds roll in. And it's like, God, I would rather not get wet. I'm already wet. It's just sweat, not rain. Okay. But I would rather you hold this off. And I mean, you know, I've seen lightning over there and lightning over there, and I've seen it, you know, right in the same yard with me. But God kept me from getting rained on. He didn't keep me dry. I think I've been kept dry one time, and that was not a good thing. It's called dehydration, when you stop sweating and so forth. But anyway, I've asked God to help it not rain, and He's done it. But then I've also asked Him, Lord, please don't let it rain, don't let it rain. And then, what do they call it, a frog strangler? I was making wakes in the yard, all right? And that's when you bring out the poncho and the rain pants and things like that, and you just get her done based on the yard. Some people didn't like black stripes in their yard. But, you know, so I can understand. Elijah was asking Him not to let it rain. So then we see here, more important than, you know, God, don't let it rain. But if you need rain, and I, you know, again, I'm going to trust you. If it does rain, I'm just going to grab this poncho. But there were some more prayers that I prayed earnestly. You know, I threw that prayer up there. Lord, if it be Your will, it'd be nice for it not to rain until I'm done. And sometimes He did, and sometimes He did. But these prayers, I prayed them earnestly. I mean, with all sincerity. And say, you know, it was a pretty cool thing for God not to let me get rained on. And then sometimes He did, and then all things worked together for good. I still got it done and was just wet. But these prayers, I can imagine in Elijah's, you know, state here, you know, God, I'm asking You not to let it rain for 3.5 years. And then now I'm asking You to let it happen like in a few minutes. Show these people Your greatness. And so these prayers, I remember praying earnestly. The most earnest prayers that I mean, obviously I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save me at 10 years old. And I was as sincere as I could be at that. And just like yourself. But I do remember praying this one over and over. Why? Because, you know, it's supposed to be a done deal. All right? And I was asking for the right wife. And, you know, Brother Hudson's here tonight. It took me like an hour and a half to work up the muster to say, can I have your daughter's hand in marriage? And he knew I was going to ask it. And he'd had all this stuff planned up. He was going to mess with me a little bit, but he saw that I was about to pass out. And my hands were sweating and I'm... All right? And so he said, yeah, that's fine. but goodness. But I mean, I earnestly prayed that she was the right one, that he would say yes, and more importantly, that she would say yes. I remember praying those prayers, and God showed me great and mighty things. Why? Because I was praying for His will. I was like, God, the way I look at it, You created Eve for Adam. You created somebody for me. And, you know, my goofishness and my lack of knowledge, I can't find her, but I'm trusting You to help me. So I prayed that one. And then, obviously, when we found out we were having kids, of course, we prayed for them to be healthy. I said, now, if it could be a boy, all right, because I don't know about these girls. I wouldn't know how to raise one. So, praise the Lord. Great and mighty things. Amen. He gave me healthy ones, and they were both boys. And as soon as they got here, though, then I'm like, now what? They didn't come with an instruction manual. Yeah, they did. Right here. All right. But, again, you can watch a YouTube video. I guess they may have made them out here. Some of us might be looking to how to change a diaper one day on YouTube. But anyway, I ask God to save their souls. Lord, and I'm not asking You to make them Michael Jordan. I'm not asking You to make them, Chipper Jones. I'm thinking of sports fanatics. I'm not asking You to make them that. I'm just asking You to save them. All right? And save them. And praise God He's done that. I was earnestly praying about that. Then we prayed, give us wisdom on how to raise them. Because, all your friends that you talk to, well, my kid did this, my kid did that. I guarantee you, your kid did something that nobody's kid ever did. Caught you by surprise and, not my kid. My kid's an angel. Okay? Keep telling yourself that. But anyway, I asked God earnestly for great and mighty things. Show me how to raise them. And I asked God when they got older. Remember that prayer You showed me great and mighty things, God? And You allowed me to marry Sharon. And now I'm praying that You allow them to do that. And God answered that prayer. And then they had little knotheads. And, again, they always say, grandparents say this, if I'd have known they were so much fun, I'd had them first. Because you can send grandkids home. That's awesome. Hey, buddy. Hey, little girl. How you doing? Love y'all. Okay, bye. See ya. I'm going to sleep. I got an appointment with my recliner. They've been here. Woo. But anyway, I still want them saved. Three down, four to go. Amen. And that's an earnest prayer that I pray all the time. Lord, please, please. Again, I wasn't asking for a slingshot. I wasn't asking for a rod, but I was earnestly praying, God, please save my grandkids. Another prayer that I prayed earnest. Lord, bless Lighthouse Baptist Church. I know I'm the third pastor, and I don't want to mess it up. Because just like that slingshot, it is not the pastor. It's the God that's going to guide and provide. And I pray for all the members. Lord, bless them. give them patience because they got a messed up pastor. give them courage. And Lord, help us. Bless us. Lord, help us to be what You'd have us to be. And Lord, just send who You'd want to send here. And Lord, help us to reach who You want us to reach. And Lord, please, that's earnest prayers. And that's what Elijah was doing. So, it's been said that prayer is the key that unlocks heaven. And of course, if you have a key, some of you put it in the car, and some nowadays you don't have to. You just got to put it in the cup holder and push the button. But anyway, I still have to put my key in there. It has to be the right one. It has to be heading in the right direction. Some of them are, both directions, things like that. But there's tumblers inside there. And those little key designs goes in there and it fits perfectly so it can unlock it. And that's what God's saying. This is why you need to pray. Because I am God and I can show you great and mighty things, but I'm not going to unless you ask me to. So here's the key. You got to pray. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, I will answer you. Maybe not like you want me to, but I'm going to answer you. And I'm going to show you great and mighty things, whether I fix it or I give you the strength to go through it. I'm going to show you those great and mighty things. So we see here the key moves those tumblers into the proper location and unlocks that. The answer key, you know, if you're a teacher, you know, I wish I'd have known this when I was a student, but those books in school come with answer keys. If they would have just given me one of those, I'd have been a great student. I'd have made awesome grades. Give me that and a photo machine, photocopy machine. There we go, man. I mean, I tried it a couple times, but anyway. But we see the answer key has the right answer. So Malachi 3:10, I believe we used this one last Wednesday. Bring all the tithes unto the storehouse, that thou may meet. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, I will open unto you the windows of heaven. So our prayer is the key to get that window open, and God's going to pour out a blessing that we would not have room to hold it. So the two verses that we've seen so far, or I guess we've seen a few, but call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's a chorus. Anybody know that one? All right, I'm going to sing it to you. All right. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. So you got the words right there in Jeremiah 33:3. Let that be a song. And the one we just read, I will open up heaven and pour out a blessing. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. So, I mean, choruses from the book. Right? And I like those, okay? And I said this not too long ago. I like songs that teach you the doctrine, not a dance move. Amen? And so, praise the Lord for that. And God says here, look, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great mighty things, which thou knowest not. And then here it is. If you'll tithe and you'll call unto me, what I'll do, that prayer that you calling unto me is going to be that key. And you're going to unlock that window and I'm going to open it. And I'm going to pour you out a blessing. And the Bible says you won't even be able to hold it all. So, what? We have to use the key. So many have experienced answered prayer here tonight. We could go around the room and say, you know, God gave me the right mate, I prayed for that, and God saved my soul, I prayed for that, and God did this for my kids, and I prayed for that. So we've all experienced answered prayer, and it's great and mighty. I mean, to be saved is a miracle. We were on our way to heaven, or on our way to hell, and now we're on our way to heaven. That's the miracle of miracles. So it is great and mighty. We have seen maybe people healed. We have seen people get their situations taken care of. James 4:2 says this, just as many, there's people in this world that have had prayers answered because they used that key and they called upon Him and He showed them great and mighty things. There's other people that have just kept their keys in their pocket and they're trying to make it through life and they haven't had their prayers answered. And God hadn't showed them great and mighty things. James 4:2 says this, you have not because you ask not. And so the key is asking. Well, it's not going to do any good anyway. It might. I mean, the worst thing he can do is say, I'm not going to, Paul, but I'll give you the grace. So the Bible examples that we're going to look at tonight, these are familiar stories, most of them. But we'll see that they were great and mighty, and I've alluded to this one already. Number one is Moses' prayer when they got to the Red Sea. Okay, we all know that he'd been talking to God, praying to God, saying, okay, God, I'm going to go talk to Pharaoh today like you told me to. And I went, and he said, okay, but then he changed his mind, his heart got hardened, and then this plague came, and then this plague came, and this plague came, and then finally he said, just get out of here, go. And we left, but he hardened his heart again, and they came after us. God, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but now what do? We're out here, we've left, there's the Red Sea, here comes this army that's going to take us back to captivity or kill us. What do we do? Exodus 4:15-16. what Moses did. He reached into his robe. I don't know if his robe had pockets. All right, but he got out the key. And he said in Exodus 14, 15, and 16, And the Lord said, Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? So Moses was asking God. You know, he said, I already told you to leave. I'm just double checking. And there's something else that's come up. I'm trying to obey you, Lord. We left Egypt. I'm leading them. But there's something that maybe we didn't plan for, or did this slip up on you? And so Moses and God were talking, and he said, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. They go forward. And so, yeah, that's a real good one. God, didn't you hear what I said? Forward is the Red Sea. And we don't have life vests. We don't have boats. We don't have kayaks. And we don't have, you know, great swimmers. Go forward. But then he said, okay, but lift up your rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. What? You heard me. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And of course, you know, that part of it's just as exciting as the parting it to me. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I've walked in quicksand type mud, swamp type mud, dried up pond type mud. It's not fun. All right? But he not only opened it, he dried it up like you're walking across dry ground, so it's not sticking to those, you know, Nike sandals that they had on, and are those you know, Spirits or what's the new thing, those slip-ins today, Skechers? They didn't have all that sticking to them. But it says here they got their answer that they needed just by asking. And it says here it looked like that there was no hope. There's the Red Sea. There's the enemy. There's no escape in this. But they prayed in Jeremiah 33:3. We're still talking about how wonderful, great, and mighty that it was today. So God says here, but they called upon God and He showed them great, mighty things. Matthew 19:26 says this, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so that's what God's saying. Use your key. Pray. Lord, it's not going to do any good. It might. All right. Now, I agree, if they would have drowned in the ocean or the Red Sea that day, and that was God's will, they would have all died and they had all went to heaven, and they'd be in heaven today. So, obviously, drowning is not fun. But if that's the avenue God used to get you to heaven, He still answered the prayer. He's still taking care of it. It's great and mighty things. But He did open it that day. Why? Because with God, all things are possible. So number one, we saw Moses in the Red Sea, that great and mighty thing. Next one, we talked about Elijah already, but in this one, this was found in 1 Kings 18. And I'm just going to, I've written down the verse and just maybe the phrase in the verse. We're not going to read. In other words, this is not going to, I'm paraphrasing here, and I'm not going to use the whole verse, but just the truth out of it. All right. So Elijah, he had prayed to ask God to not let it rain for 3.5 years. Now he said, okay, God, have it to rain and allow the fruit to come forth. God answered those prayers. Now he's here in 1 Kings 18, and obviously there's the Baal worshipers there, and there's God worshipers there, and they're not getting along, kind of like it is today. You know, churchgoers and church, and, you know, God believers, and they don't get along great with people that don't go to church and don't believe in God. Same thing here. And it had gotten to a head. And Elijah said, okay, once for all, we're going to see some great and mighty things here today, because we're going to call upon God. We're going to Jeremiah 33 it right here. 33:3 it. And he said, all right, you leaders of Baal worshipers, you build you an altar, put you a bullock on there, and put you some wood on there, but don't put any fire down there. You're going to pray, and if Baal be God, he's going to light your altar on fire. And then, obviously, we'll do the same thing when we're talking to God. So, in verse 21 of chapter 18, it says here, and if the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. So this was the deal. We'll stop preaching about God and we'll follow Baal. I mean, this is how great and mighty this would be. If Baal answers your prayer and burns that altar up, we'll stop preaching, we'll stop following God, and we'll follow Baal. But if your God doesn't answer and our God does, what we want you to do is you stop following Baal and you follow our God. And so verse 23, they agreed. So they both took a bullock apiece and they put the wood there and they put the bullock on top of the wood, but they did not put any fire, kindling or any wadded up paper, things like that, or anything that would start on a fire. And in verse 24 it says in here, we will both then call our God, and whoever answers by fire will let that one be God. And so verse 26 it says here, the Baal worshiper peoples, they started first. They did all that, and they prayed to Baal. They heard no voice. It's in the verse, in verse 26. They heard nothing. Nothing from heaven. Nothing opened up. Nothing was said. They heard nothing. No voice. There was no answer. I mean, nothing happened. It was just sitting there. And in verse 26, it says, they started jumping up and down on the altar. In other words, they were trying to get Baal's attention. And, a lot of people, there's songs written about jumping up and down. You see it at ball games, and obviously it's crept into a lot of churches these days, and they're just jumping up and down and gyrating everywhere. But anyway, that's what they were doing in verse 26. So Elijah, again, I don't know if he got in the flesh or if he was led by the Spirit. I kind of like Elijah because I'm a smart aleck. But in verse 27, it says he starts mocking them. They're jumping up and down. And they're praying. And he's like, hey, why don't you cry louder? Get louder. And this is verse 27 now. And then it said he gives some explanation on why they should get louder. Because maybe Baal is talking to somebody. All right? And this is one great thing about our God. Anybody in this room could start praying to him and he could hear you and answer you. And somebody on this side could be praying and talking to him and he could hear and answer them. But Baal, we see here, we know he's no comparison to God, so he might be talking to somebody. And that's what, that's what happens to us. We're like, why? We don't want to be rude to the person on the phone, so we'll just be rude to the person that's standing in front of us, right? But anyway, he's like, won't you just scream louder? Try to get his attention. He might be talking to someone. Or, it goes on to say in verse 27, maybe he's asking somebody a question. Like, oh no, all these worshipers of me down there, they're trying to get this. What do I do? Let's Google it real quick. Find it on YouTube on how to send fire down from heaven. Maybe he's talking to somebody. Here's another one he says right there in verse 27. Maybe he went on a trip. In other words, he's gone. And, he send a message, voicemail, something. No, maybe he's on a trip. And then here's one, same verse 27. Maybe he's sleeping. But the Bible teaches that our God never sleeps. Verse 28 says here, then after they were jumping up and down, he's making fun of them, get louder, try to get his attention. Verse 28 says, then they start cutting themselves. I mean, they're trying to show their sincerity. Baal, we're showing you everything we got. And then, verse 29, it says they started preaching about Baal. How wonderful he was and how they were trying to impress him and say, look, we're trusting you. And he's doing like that. It gets down to verse 30. What Elijah did, he repaired that altar where they were jumping up and down on it. And it says in verse 32 that he told them to dig a trench around it. Back up in verse 30, he put 12 stones around it representing each tribe of Israel. And then he said, get 4 barrels and fill them up with water in verse 33. And he says, pour it on there. And in verse 32, verse 34, it says, do it again. Do it a third time. And you know the story. The trench was all full up of water. And he didn't have to jump up and down. He didn't have to cut himself. He didn't have to scream. He didn't have to wonder if God heard him or not. But it says in verse 36, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art the God of Israel. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that Thou art God. And so again, just like when Moses was like, it's not me, Lord, it's You. Hey, people that are following me, it's not me, it's Him. But God, if You'll show them that they can trust You, that You can take care of all the situations, and You can show them great and mighty things. That's all we're supposed to do. Just be the pointer. Y'all saw, I didn't part that Red Sea. I'm holding the rod up, but it's the God of the rod, not the rod of the God. And Elijah, same thing. I didn't pray mighty prayers down. I didn't pray fire down, but our God sent it down. And let our people know, and let all these false teachers and false preachers know that our God is the true God. So we see here that if we'll call upon God, He can show us great and mighty things. And we're out of time, so I'm just going to read these other ones to you real quick. Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. There was two times. One, Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got brought out of jail and said, look, the king had a dream last night. And now he can't remember the details, but it messed his brain up so bad. He wants to know what it is. And it says here in Daniel 2, 17 and 19 that he called the magicians, he called astrologers, he called sorcerers, he called educated people of the Chaldeans, and they didn't have the right key. It wouldn't go in there. My dad one time had a Chevy pickup. And he had a Chevy key. He said, this is the key to that truck. And it wouldn't go in. He took a hammer and drove it in there. Still didn't crank it. All right, why? Because it wasn't the right key. So they could beat, knock, cut themselves, scream, holler, jump up and down. But the key is talking to the God of heaven that can show you great and mighty things. And they didn't have the right key. But Daniel had the right key. God showed him. And he went in there and said, okay, king, this is what it means. And then he went home and prayed three times a day, like the Bible says, like he did a four time. And the other guys got mad at him and told the king to make up this rule that you got thrown in the lion's den if you prayed to anybody but the king. And so, but he went home and prayed. I don't care what the rule is. I'm talking to God, and you know the story. So, obviously we're still talking about that story today as well. Great and mighty things. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Here's the key. Moses was righteous that day. He had the right key, and he talked to the right God. Great and mighty things. Elijah was righteous that day, right with God, had the right key, talked to the right person, and great and mighty things. Daniel was righteous. He had purpose in his heart not to defile himself. So the key is you have to be talking to the right person, and you have to be righteous. The last one is the early church in Acts 12, y'all probably know this story as well. James had gotten killed with a sword by Herod. Peter was next. Right? I'm sure he wasn't looking forward to it. But just like a lot of them, he's like, you know, if I die for the cause of Christ, so be it. But the church said, look, let's pray that Peter gets out. And in Acts 12, 5 through 10, we won't take time to read that, but it says here, he was asleep in the prison. So he was settled. He was okay. If I die, I die. I'm just going to go with Jesus. But he was asleep. And it says here, and the angel shined a light in his face. Right, I don't know if you've ever had a light shine in your face when you're trying to sleep. It gets your attention. And then it says here, he smote him and said, get up. I've had that done to me a lot by my mom and dad. Whap, get up. And then it says here, when he got up, his chains fell off. And he said, get dressed and put your shoes on. And they walked past the first guard. They walked past the second guard. And the gates just fell off the hinges as they walked out. And they walked over to the house and they knocked on the door. And God showed them that night great and mighty things. They didn't believe it for a while. But they all, what they do? They prayed without ceasing. The church prayed while the guard slept. It says here they prayed and God did all those great and mighty things. So we ought to pray like Jesus did. We ought to pray for the lost to get saved. We ought to pray for the prodigals to come to themselves and return. We ought to pray for, workers for the field. The harvest is truly plenteous, laborers. We ought to pray for God's will. And the three things that God tells us, and I'll finish up with this. He tells us to pray for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He tells us to pray for power. But He also tells us to pray for love. There's some people that have just prayed for wisdom. They don't have power or love. And the Bible says they're ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, they might be an educated, idiot according to the Bible. They believe all this, know all this, but they're not saved. They got a lot of wisdom. And then power. The Bible talks about that being wildfire. In other words, not being able to, don't have enough wisdom to contain it. It spreads strange fire, the Bible says. But the greatest of these is what? Charity. So what we need is a balance. God, give me wisdom, but give me power to do what I need to do with the wisdom You've given me, but help me to have love. And we saw this Sunday that the truth of the Bible sometimes is offensive. But we don't need to be offensive. We ought to do it with love. So Moses in the Red Sea, great and mighty things. Elijah, the prophet of Baal, great and mighty things. Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar in the lion's den, great and mighty things. Peter in the early church, great and mighty things. And Paul and Silas, same thing, great and mighty things. God allowed them to come out. So Matthew 18:20 says this, where there are two or three gathered in My name, I am in the midst. Paul and Silas was singing in praise in God in the church, in the jail. God showed up, did great and mighty things. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. God can do anything. We should just ask. You have not because you ask not. And we must be righteous. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Thank You for great and mighty things. Lord, help us realize, Lord, it's not the rod. It's not the altar. It's not the fire. But it's the God of all that. And we have the same God in our day and time as these people like passions. They weren't Superman. They were just men and women just like we are. But they have a great God that can do anything. In Jesus' name, amen.